We've got three points this morning. We've got waiting is not easy, but it's absolutely necessary because it shapes us. Point number one. Point number two from the passage of Luke 2 with Simeon is we learn to wait well by putting our hope in Jesus Christ, okay? And number three, our hopes won't be fulfilled 100% this side of heaven. But still, we look to Jesus to give us the capacity to wait well, and in that sense, join Weight Watchers. So, let me launch off here into this then by talking about marshmallows. If any of you have ever toasted a marshmallow, you know what waiting with hope is all about, okay? When I was a child, I always burned them. I had no capacity. Christmas Eve, I roasted a marshmallow for my wife. Perfect. Just brown, and I waited well. Things have changed since childhood. But roasting a marshmallow is a slow process, as you know, if you can make it without burning it to a crisp. We often have tried to cook it too quickly. What I'm saying by that is it's difficult to wait, and yet we're called upon in so many aspects of life to do exactly that. And God pours, then, from this passage, God pours sovereign grace into you as his child, adopted through Jesus Christ, so that you can wait with hope. And his divine grace comes to us by way of the sacred scripture as a means of grace. Comes to us in the Lord's Supper today as a means where God has ordained his grace to be deepened and amplified in us. So we're into this passage today, and we're hungry in 2021 for God's word. Luke 2, 25, 35, God was pouring his grace into Simeon to help Simeon wait well with hope. And Simeon says to you and me, you can wait well too, for God is still pouring out his grace in the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives through Jesus Christ, the Lord of grace. But let me circle back to the marshmallows, because they're a lot of fun. You know, years ago, Stanford University did a marshmallow test for toddlers. Maybe you've heard about this famous test. What they did is they got these four-year-olds in the room, each with their own individual psychologist for this test, and they were being watched in these rooms by cameras and filmed, and they would ask the child to do something or answer a question. Every time the child did it well, they gave him a marshmallow. But the real test came when the psychologist responded to a knock on the door, and he walked over to the door, and he said, oh, okay, and he ran back real quickly, excited-like for the four-year-old, and said, I have to go on an errand, but I'm going to put one marshmallow here right in front of you on the table, and if you don't eat that marshmallow till I get back, you get a second marshmallow. But if you eat that marshmallow while I'm out, then you don't get any more marshmallows at all. Well, you know, as St. Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls. This is a trying test for any four-year-old. It was amazing what these four-year-olds did. Some of them whistled, some of them sang, some of them got up and ran around so they wouldn't eat the marshmallow. One dear little boy, he licked the wood around the marshmallow, thinking maybe the flavor had transferred into the wood. Lo and behold, but it's quite a test that Stanford University did, because what it does is it pushes right in front of our minds and hearts that unending battle we all have between impulse and restraint, between desire and control, between gratification now versus delayed gratification later. So these four-year-olds, as I say, they devised all kinds of things to do, but what they found out is they followed them through adolescence and into adulthood and throughout their school time, that the marshmallow waiters versus the marshmallow grabbers, and I fear I would have been a marshmallow grabber, but the marshmallow waiters turned out to be more socially competent, better able to cope with stress, more likely to persevere under pressure, where the marshmallow grabbers, they grew up, bless our hearts, I mean their hearts, to be a bit stubborn, a bit indecisive, more easily upset by frustration, and more resentful about not getting enough. Have you ever known anybody like that? Don't say, looking at me, yes, okay. So, and isn't it fascinating what you learn from this marshmallow test? That waiting is not easy. We identify with this. But it's very important to wait well because it shapes us. That's point number one from the text. Hear God's word, Luke 2:25. I think there's a causal relationship here. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, we know it's the Holy Spirit upon us that gives us the grace of patience and waiting well. But he was a righteous and devout man. Why? Because he was waiting. I believe the waiting caused the righteous and devout. The righteous and devout increased the capacity to wait. We Christians are called upon by our great sovereign God to wait again and again and again. It is part of his strategy, bless our hearts, to refine us and fit us for heaven, for ministry and mission, for caring and fellowship, for responding to each other's quirks, and I may add goofiness, okay? In the book Emotional Intelligence, you know that psychologist Daniel Goleman, he argues that the ability to wait well and to delay gratification is, quote, the master aptitude that leads to personal maturity and effective living. Well, we can't do that without the Holy Spirit, but I think it's a good point. It is needful. God uses waiting in your life as a kind of master aptitude that forms in you his glory of a substantial maturity and spirituality in Christ. God simply likes to make us wait. Isn't that delightful? He develops maturity in us this way. He has no qualms about making you wait. I flash back to being the youngest in the family, and we'd go to the icebox for Grandma Alexander and say, Grandma Anna, my brother would say, I'm first for a glass of water, and my sister would say, I'm second, and I would say, I'm third, and she'd turn around and say, you mean you're last. And I just think all I want is a glass of water, for crying out loud. But check this out. No less than 43 times in the Old Testament, the Word of God, are you told to wait on the Lord and wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 27, the very last verse. Throughout history, God has devised innumerable marshmallow tests for his people. Isn't that just grand? And doesn't that just give you something to look forward to in 2021? But that's the fact, Jack. You go to the Bible, and you see that Abraham and Sarah are given the promised marshmallow of a child. And lo and behold, they wait 24 years for this baby. In Exodus 1, Israel's in captivity, and they're given the promised marshmallow of deliverance. They wait 400 years. Then after they get that out of captivity, Moses is given the promised marshmallow of entering the promised land, only to what? Wander around because the people goof off. 40 years later, it's a sad thing. So how many years have you been waiting for something? How long do we all have to wait for COVID-19 or its new strain to be restrained and tamed by vaccines? How good are you at waiting? How good are you at waiting in traffic? How good are you waiting for, well, it's not real applicable here, but some people have to wait for their kids to come home from college, and then they have to wait for the kids to go back to college after the holidays. How good at waiting are you to open your Christmas presents? It's my wife's birthday today. Thank you for those balloons for her. She wanted me to downplay it. Well, that's gone. Anyway, lo and behold, I wrapped about 6 presents for her yesterday morning, you know. And she comes out, because I was awake real early, studying and working hard for the sermon. Anyway, she comes out, and they're on the dining room table, the supper table, waiting to be opened. I mean, so you open them a day ahead of time, Jan. What's the big deal? And she doesn't open them. And so then I put them under the Christmas tree, and they're looking real good there. She doesn't open them. We leave yesterday. They're unopened. It's her birthday today. I guess she could wait. I could not. So. Did I what? Open them. I knew what was in them, but I want to see her response, you know? Okay, so you have it there. Maybe you're waiting for a prodigal grandson, granddaughter to come home to receive the Lord, to go back to the Lord. Maybe we're single, waiting for the marshmallow of marriage. Maybe you're married and you want the marshmallow of kids or grandkids. Maybe your health is not good and you're waiting for the marshmallow of healing. I don't mean to downplay that by calling that a marshmallow. We wait. It's just plain difficult for most of us, particularly at this time of year. You know, Costco is jammed up and Ross Dress for Less is busy. You can't get in sometimes the U.S. mail office. And well, when we stop to think biblically about our refusals to wait and trust, you can draw a pretty straight line from that demandingness straight to the core of our sinfulness, inherited from Adam and Eve, because we'd have done the same thing as Adam and Eve when they refused to wait for the marshmallow on the marshmallow tree in the Garden of Eden. So waiting is hard for us because we're all sinners. But it is good for us, and we embrace it, 2021, because it's God's divine design for sanctifying you, to form a substantial Christ-centered holiness within you, to make you his devout and righteous person like Simeon, in Jesus Christ. And we need this waiting business, we really do. So for 2021, I'm asking us to join Weight Watchers. Join the club. All right, so what now that we join the club? How do we wait well? Well, the second point from Sacred Scripture today is simply this. We wait well by learning somehow, by the Holy Spirit's mercy, to hope in Jesus Christ. To hope in him as the consolation of our lives, as the light of our lives, as the ultimate glory of our lives, as the infinite reference point of our lives, the backboard where we make our shots in life, and they're not a swish, but they bounce off, and maybe they don't even hit the rim, but we gain that back from Jesus Christ as an infinite reference point. Hear God's word, 2:25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. We saw that. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. We hear the word again. Put it another way, Simeon learned to wait well by holding to the hope of the Lord Jesus as his Messiah and as his consolation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And likewise, we wait well by linking to Jesus and asking the Holy Spirit to be upon us. It's a good prayer for New Year's. I mean, we get the background of Luke 2. They're poor, Israel's history at this point. They're weak, they're living under the oppression of the Romans. They've not heard a specific word from God for over 400 years. But there's a lot of excitement and anticipation, and something's afoot, that the Messiah might be on the rise, but nobody knows for sure. And that's when we come to Luke chapter 2, to this man Simeon. And Simeon is old, he's godly, he's been waiting a long time. So when Mary and Joseph bring the baby in to the temple, The Holy Spirit moves on Simeon, and he goes over and holds the baby. And years before, Simeon told he wouldn't die before he had seen this supreme marshmallow manifestation. But time was running out on him. He was very old now. And when the moment finally comes to look, one look through his cataract-layered eyes, and he knows, and he holds Jesus in his arms, and he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples, it's for us, a light for revelation to the Gentiles," that's us, "and for glory to your people Israel." We are the new Israel, that's us. You see, it's hoping in God's promise, God's word, that lets Simeon wait well. He's a marshmallow waiter, not a marshmallow grabber. But again, what in particular kept him waiting faithfully and fervently through all the years of his long life? What keeps you and me waiting? Well, honoring God. It's this incredible hope that Simeon had, that we have, in the sovereign God, that who in his own sovereign time and his own sovereign way brought about the birth of Christ and fulfilled the promise made to Simeon and promises us to sovereignly guide us by his will in the ups and the downs, in the highs and the lows, in the 221. And what's the key then for us? It's you and me in 2021, trusting in God's sovereign goodness as constant over you. Trusting in God's sovereign timing as right in the midst of all our waiting. He knows our times are in his hands. In the mercy of God, I'm alive. At this time last year, I was in stage 4 cancer. I know I've shared that before. And I don't share that about me. I share that to know that I could be dead. But that would have been part of God's sovereign mercy and grace. And anyway. You see, Simeon would say to us that it's hoping in the sovereign timing and sovereign ways of Jesus in our lives that sets all our waiting with acceptance and trust by looking to Jesus. Jesus is your infinite reference point in all of your waiting. He is waiting with you, and he is waiting for you. And it's that which is a gift from our great God and in his great mercy. So, point number 3. Infinite reference point is this truth. Jesus, one day, will fulfill all your hopes. Luke 2:30-31. For my eyes have seen your salvation, you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. That presentation of salvation in the Bible is holistic. It means simply that salvation will come in its entirety. Every part of you that has been damaged, corrupted, hurt, or smashed by sin will someday be healed. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our minds, our emotions, our impatience, our bodies, which have been hurt and broken and wounded by living in the pain and the destruction of a fallen world, will all be put back together again like Humpty Dumpty couldn't be. And it's that certainty that enables waiting well right now, whatever the weight, however heavy it is. Because sometimes it's a heavy weight that we're waiting for. That sovereign promise, that certainty of full salvation one day, gives you stability today, no matter what you face. Because for Simeon, the promised Messiah was his infinite reference point, so he waited well. And for us, it's even better. The Messiah has already come in his first advent. And he promises to come again in his second advent. And we're in the in-between time. So with Jesus as our infinite reference point, we wait and hope well because of these certainties that no one can take away. They're indestructible, intractable, unalterable. Let me illustrate this with a true account of Marshall and Susan Shelley. They sent out their Christmas letter many years ago. It read this way, on March 14th, and again, this reference point of the constancy and the promise of Jesus and the fulfillment to come. On March 14th of this year, our daughter, Mandy, was born. And before she had completely emerged, the doctor said, "We need to measure her head." When I asked if something was wrong, he said, "Her head looks small, possibly microcephalic." That was the first time we'd heard the word, and yes, indeed, Mandy was microcephalic by birth, which means her brain was not fully developed. The first 3 months of life led to her having seizures and also developing cataracts in both eyes. Surgery removed the cataracts, and medication has the seizures basically under control. This is their Christmas letter. But her brain is still not, and probably never will be, normal. Mandy is a precious child, a gift from God, but one who will need special care for whatever years God sees fit to allow us to have her. See the trust in God there. We still don't know if she can see or hear, and the chances that she'll learn to walk or sit up are remote. The first few months were filled with an aching loneliness. Where was God in all of this? What possible good could come out of this? Well, I'd love to tell you baby Mandy turned out fine and they lived happily ever after, but that's not what happened. In fact, from the human perspective, things got worse because the year after Mandy was born, Susan got pregnant again. Early in the pregnancy, they realized something was wrong with this baby too. The following November, she gave birth to Toby, and Toby had so many problems, he only lived for a few short minutes. Then just 4 months after little Toby's death, Mandy, their microcephalic daughter, died. So they had two kids in less than 4 months die with them. Where's the hope in that? Well, please listen to the impact of an infinite reference point being the Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day fulfill all our waiting hopes. Marshall Shelley, looking back on his experience of losing two of his children, wrote this: "Before my children died, I considered the biblical teaching of resurrection and heaven pleasant but remote, a bit quaint. Now, resurrection and heaven are central and strategic to our lives. As I held both Toby and Mandy within seconds of their deaths, I was overwhelmed by a sense of how close every one of us is to eternity. I was cheek to cheek with a child entering everlasting life. That sense, though sometimes overshadowed by the busyness of life, is now never far away from me anymore." Jesus is infinite reference point. Shelley goes on, "In fact, many times now, heaven seems so much more substantial than earth. My wife Susan sometimes says, 'I have one foot in heaven and the other foot on earth.' We've already sent part of ourselves on ahead, and we can understand better what Jesus meant when he said, 'Where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also.'" So you see, knowing that Jesus will one day fulfill all your hopes helps you to wait well now in the midst of all life's pains and disappointments, which are many. And I don't know when they're coming around the bend, do you? Our infinite reference point is Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And since the Word of God in Colossians says, you have been raised with Christ and seated at the right hand of God in Christ, and your life is hidden in Christ in God, that mystical union you have, it's really a matter of your having one foot really now already in heaven and the other on the earth. It's Christ Jesus the Lord who is your ongoing reference point that lets you join Weight Watchers. So, some applications quickly. Number one, for 2021, Jesus is your only hope for substantial waiting well, but not perfectly waiting well in a hurting, sinful world because we're sinners. Your hope in Jesus and his ultimate salvation should enable you and me to wait well, to wait on the things we want, all those marshmallows in our lives, including waiting for 100% health, 100% happiness, 100% relationships. But I say that with irony, because the fall of Adam and Eve blocks the 100% business from us. This side of heaven, you and I know life is hard. We've all learned that in 2020. And this side of heaven, we can't get no 100% satisfaction. I mean, how's your waiting going this year so far? Are you hurting? Discouraged? Hearts a little angry? Hearts a little disappointed? Hearts a little bit unforgiving? Maybe a little bit bitter? Critical, apathetic, weary, only I'm just a teensy bit, that's all. You know, nothing much. But Simeon passed God's marshmallow test, but why? Because he had a heart filled with the hope that comes from focusing on Jesus Christ and his sovereign, saving, redemptive work. You focus on Jesus that way. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared a light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory. You focus on Jesus that way, and your heart becomes hopeful simply because it is focused on Jesus. And in focusing on Jesus, you know and you trust that because he's sovereign, he's got you in his hands, he's got your waiting in his hands, and his timing is over you. He knows all about all of your marshmallows that you want. Application number two, as for Simeon, so for us, Simeon, waiting was not passive. Waiting on the Lord Jesus can't be passive for us either. It's got to be the continual daily decision to say to our Savior, Lord Jesus, I trust your sovereign goodness in all these ugly things of my life, and I will wait on you to solve them or not. Even though the circumstances of my life are not turning out the way I want, Lord, and may never turn out how I want them to, Lord, I'm betting the farm on you. I'm betting everything on you. You are my infinite reference point for all of my waiting. Application number three, well then, let's live together for God's glory regardless of our circumstances, because he is our light and our glory. See Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the holder of the marshmallow bag. Even more, see him as the marshmallow bag himself. For when Jesus is seen and understood actually as the marshmallow bag himself, all these other marshmallows that we want so badly can be waited for with substantial patience and trust, because we already have him. And I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. So yes, for 2021, we shall glorify Jesus Christ by joining Weight Watchers, being marshmallow waiters, not marshmallow grabbers, all the days of our 2011 lives this side of heaven. And when we finally do get to heaven, the concept of waiting will be no more. But until then, we wait. Imperfectly, but we wait with hope, because you know from Isaiah 40:31, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's wait upon the Lord in the Lord's Supper together. Father, we pray for these elements, that they be moved from a common to a sacred use, to the devotion of your holy name and holy strength in us. And we pray that these will be a visible symbol and sign of the invisible work of grace multiplied in our hearts by the dynamic presence of Jesus Christ, who promised himself to be here, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." Thank you for your special magnified presence, Jesus, here. We humble ourselves before you. And Lord, we know that here grace is presented, grace is applied, and grace is sealed. We offer 2021 to be under the auspices and reign of the body and blood, the supper of the Lord God, the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.